25, The Queen's Message. I thought we were pretty famous before the interview, but I was wrong. It was only after we became headline news that I found out what being famous was really like. Wherever we went, Tom and Michael and Josie and Amit and me were waved at and smiled at and petted on the head and given thumbs up by lots of people we didn't know. People at the bus stop and on the streets would run up to us and say things like, God bless you, and we're all behind you, Amit, and I signed the petition. Parliament's going to listen to you. You'll see. Even Mr. Bannock, who owned the newspapers near the school bus stop and was famous for hating children, ran out whenever he saw us and gave us each a chocolate egg for free. And not just for a day, but for a whole week. But as exciting as it was to be famous and to be friends with the most famous refugee boy in the world, what happened a few days later was even more surprising. On Wednesday morning, just 6 days after we'd done the interview, we arrived at school ready to play football, but couldn't find Amit anywhere in the playground. When the bell began to ring, we headed straight to class. But when we got to our classroom, he wasn't there either. Neither was Miss Hemsey. He's probably just late, shrugged Josie as we sat down. But Amit was never, ever late. I looked over at Mrs. Khan and wondered if I should ask her. She was busy getting the class to sit down, but she looked happier and couldn't stop smiling even when she was telling Clarissa off for being late. After registration, Mrs. Khan said that Mrs. Burrowvilly was going to take the first period today as she had something to do. Then she came over to us and told me, Josie, Michael and Tom to come with her. Are we in trouble? Whispered Tom as we followed Mrs. Khan down the corridor. But we haven't done anything, have we? Whispered Josie. I didn't say anything. Me and Michael just looked at each other. Mrs. Khan knocked on Mrs. Sanders' door and waited for a come in before she pushed it open. The first person we saw was Amit. He was perched on a chair, his face looking surprised, serious and happy all in one go. Sitting on one side of him was Miss Hemsey, whose cheeks were pinker than I had ever seen them, and on the other were two men. They each gave me a wide smile. For a moment I couldn't remember how I knew them, and then Tom gave a gasp. It's the Queen's Guards, he cried out, punching me on the arm. He was right, they really were the Queen's Guards, except that they were dressed in suits and didn't look so giant because they weren't wearing their tall black hats. As we walked in, they stood up and gave us a salute. Josie squealed in delight and Michael was so excited he shook hands with both of them at the same time. I looked over at Amit, who, seeing that we knew the guards, was now smiling at them fully. Come in," said Mrs. Sanders, waving to us, and waving us to our seats and peering over her glasses at us. "Children, these gentlemen have a very special message to give you," said Mrs. Sanders. "We most certainly do," said Lieutenant Kungu. "It gives me great pleasure to present you with this very special message from Her Majesty the Queen." He took an envelope from the inside of his coat and held it up. And seeing as how the greatest idea in the world was your idea, how about you open this, he asked, as he held the envelope out to me. It was large and square and cream and had the curliest writing on it that I ever saw. Excuse me. As I took it, everyone crowded around me to stare at it. I turned it over. On the back was a large blob of red candle wax. It looked like it had been spilt accidentally, but there was an E, two R, I's and an R stamped in the middle of it, so it must have been done on purpose. Go on, whispered Josie and Amit, and Michael and Tom nodded. I carefully peeled off the wax blob and pulled out the letter. The writing was so curly and scratchy and I was so nervous that I couldn't read the words. Seeing me struggle, Mrs. Khan came and stood behind me. I gave her the letter so that she could read it out loud instead, and this is what it said. Dearest children, Lieutenant Chris Taylor and Second Lieutenant Walter Kungu were so kind as to inform me of your brave, although slightly dangerous, actions undertaken on behalf of your refugee friend Amit. I have now also received the letter you had written to me on the subject beforehand. Thank you for the very colourful envelope and the lovely stamps. Purple is quite my favourite colour. I was very sorry to hear of Amit's plight. I have heard of many little girls and boys like him. Thanks to your brave actions, lots of people from all over the world are working together to try and locate his family. I know they will be trying their very best, and I look forward to hearing of their safe arrival to the United Kingdom, or Queendom, as you so nicely put it, soon. My lieutenants tell me that you brought tea and biscuits and gifts in the hope of sharing them with me. That was a lovely idea. I am unfortunately scheduled to go on a small tour across Britain this week, but when I get back in a fortnight's time, I should like nothing better than to invite you all to have tea with me at the palace. Until then, I must ask that you please do not go running after any more of my soldiers. It was awfully dangerous, and I am most relieved that you were not hurt. Any letter addressed to me will always reach me, and I do like to receive mail, especially one so beautifully decorated and written with such care. With my fondest best wishes, Elizabeth R., 92 years old. After Mrs. Khan had read it out loud for us and Miss Hemsey had finished telling Amit what the letter said, we all sat in silence. I guess there are just some things that even grown-ups don't have any words for, and a message from the Queen is one of them.